And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're going to pick up our study in John chapter 16, verse number 8. Here we're at that time where the Lord Jesus is there with his disciples, and he's left the upper room with them. He observed the Passover with them, established the Lord's Supper, washed the disciples' feet. Judas has gone out to betray him, and then he begins, after Judas's departure from the church, he is there teaching them about the things that will come to pass. He tells them that he's telling them these things in advance so they won't be offended when they do come to pass. To know that the Lord Jesus is in control of all things, even as he hangs on the cross, even as he gives his life a ransom for his people, even though he is dead, Jesus is still in control. And so he tells them about the Comforter. And this Holy Spirit work of the Comforter is a work that the Holy Spirit does within the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, not for the sake of those who are saved only, but in the Lord's churches. The context here is the Lord is with his church. And the church is not the family of God, all those saved, but the church are those that the Lord has called out, individual local churches, saved people that the Lord has called out to be a member and a part of one of his churches that has had continuance from that first church in Jerusalem that obtained its baptism from John the Baptist, that came baptizing, sent of God to do so. This work of the Comforter is unto them. It is a special work. Although the Spirit does comfort the believer, this Holy Spirit work of the Comforter is being done in the Lord's churches. And I think that this passage will make that very clear. Let's back up to verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So a promise, as Jesus is not physically present with the church, as he has been for the last 3 years, as he built his church upon himself and called different ones to come follow him, now he is departing and he is sending the Comforter in his stead. Verse number 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So the Comforter is going to do a work. He's going to do this work in his church. That's what the Lord has ordained. The church has been given a commission to preach the gospel unto all nations, to baptize those that believe, and to teach those baptized believers to observe all the things that the Lord Jesus has commanded us. And so The Comforter is going to do this work in and through the church. We don't hear the Spirit of God going up the highways and byways and the avenues, streets, and boulevards of this world, speaking aloud to where the world can hear directly from the Spirit of God or the Comforter. The Lord does not work that way, but it says here that he will do this work. He will reprove the world of sin. But yet we don't see the Spirit of God taking out articles in newspaper, and the Spirit of God, the Comforter, we don't see him taking out and having radio broadcasts and such as that. Why is it? Well, he is doing this work, but he's doing it through the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. When he has come to comfort the church, and the people of the Lord in his churches. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is telling about the Spirit's work through his people in his churches and what he will do through his churches. Here's some clarity. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Why is that? See, Jesus coming is an evident token of the necessity of a Savior to forgive sins. The whole reason, the entire reason that Jesus came was to save his people from their sins. Had he not come, it would not have been done. But it has been done. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, he sacrificing himself, God the Father sacrificing his Son, God Almighty providing an atonement, a redemption, a propitiation for his people's sins is a token. Jesus coming is a declaring that there is sin that needs to be dealt with, that needed to be dealt with. Of sin, because the world, they believe not on me. See, the world does not receive Christ. The world does not believe there's a necessity for Christ. The world says, sin, what are you talking about sin? I'm live my own life, do my own thing. Leave me alone and don't talk to me about religion. Don't talk to me about a God that I give an answer to. I am my own God and I answer to my own self. That's the way of the world. But see, the Comforter is rebuking the world of sin. Sin is present. Sin is there. And the only remedy for sin is the Lord Jesus. And then he says here, and of righteousness. Of righteousness, verse number 10, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus Christ the righteous. He fulfilled completely everything that the Father gave him to do. He has fulfilled the law completely and perfectly without thought of error, without thought of sin. Jesus is the epitome of righteousness. And the Comforter is going to rebuke the world of righteousness. Why? Because sinners need righteousness to stand before a holy God. They need righteousness to be forgiven of their sins. They need righteousness to have an eternity beyond this life that is of value and that is of peace and that is of hope. Righteousness is needed. And it says here, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven presently at this time, since the time that he finally ascended up to heaven some 2,000 years ago, he sitting at the right hand of the Father is a testimony that he has fulfilled the Father's will in all things regarding salvation of his people, all things regarding redemption and atonement and propitiation. Jesus Christ, he is the righteous. He is the epitome of righteousness, and is only by repentance of sins and faith in him that a sinner can have salvation and it be imputed, the righteousness of Jesus be imputed, be imparted unto that sinner, and the sin of the sinner be imputed unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says here, he will reprove the world of judgment. Verse number 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the author of sin? It's Satan. Who is the liar, the father of the lie? The scripture tells us it's Satan. Who is a murderer from the beginning? The scripture and the Lord Jesus tells himself that it is Satan. And in Jesus Christ coming and dealing with sin, by his righteousness, he has judged the prince of this world. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. This is his domain. This is that which he has been given responsibility for. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, coming, living, yielding himself to the cruelty of the cross, bleeding, suffering, and dying, he has judged Satan, and Satan and his work and his way is judged. It tells us in the book of the Revelation in chapter 20, when Satan is taken after being bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then being allowed to be loosed and then and deceiving those nations that remain, the people of those nations that remain at that time, that when the Lord Jesus deals with them and they are instantly destroyed, Satan is taken and cast into the lake of fire. There's no need for judgment for Satan. When Jesus came and did these things, he has been judged. He's judged. It's done. All that's waiting for is the coming damnation. He has been condemned that he is wicked, he is sinful, and he's the author of it, and he will suffer eternally for that which he has done. The Comforter will do these things, not directly, and where we would hear the voice of the Spirit of God in the highways and byways and hedges and in the streets and avenues and boulevards of our cities, but the Spirit will not be heard directly, but the Spirit will be heard in this work he will do in his church through his people, and the church of the Lord will broadcast and tell the truth. The Apostle Paul writes unto Timothy, and he says that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. And that's the reason that it's so important. And then this understanding of what the family of God is and what the church of the Lord and what the kingdom of the Lord are. It's very important to understand those things correctly. Verse number 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Lord's church has the promise of guidance. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so the promise of the Comforter in the stead of the Lord Jesus given to the Lord's churches to have one there with him. It says here he will do this reproving work of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he will guide the church into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak those things that he hears from the Lord and will show his people, show his church things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So further declaration there that the Holy Spirit of God, he is a real person of the Trinity. He is a real person of the Godhead, but he is not one that works for self, but he is always pointing to the Father, always pointing to the Son. That is by which the Lord has been pleased, is to magnify the Son, and that's what the Spirit does. He shall glorify me, Jesus says, for he shall receive of mine, he'll receive communication from the Lord Jesus, and shall show it unto you. Well, see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.